Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Coming up at 12:20, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Joining us, 12:20. And then Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. He has the YouTube show Inside Coverage with a gentleman named Andrew Siciliano. So a couple of heavy hitters coming up here on the show. We were just talking, shock, about quarterbacks in the Browns.
What?
And because of what's going on, Andy, we've been doing this quarterback thing where we're looking at the quarterbacks in college this year who could be the number one overall pick and or could be a first-round pick who the Browns end up drafting. And guess what's happening as this season goes on?
Things aren't what they appeared to be at the beginning of the season?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
It's getting more convoluted. And it's a strange type of thing. Now let me throw this at you first. We've had this pool of guys that we've been looking at, okay? At the beginning of the year, and I didn't just put the pool together just, you know, willy-nilly. I paid attention to who all the people were, all the draft analysts and everybody else, who they were talking about. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll quickly give you some updates here on some of these guys that we've been talking about quite a bit. Let's see.
Oh, the marching band. Hi, guys. Come on in.
Welcome, everybody.
Ooh, look out for that trombone.
Appreciate that. The guy that I've really enjoyed watching when I look at video is
Julian Sain. I knew you were going to say
Lenora Sellers of South Carolina. A bunch of teams didn't play this week. South Carolina was one of them. His last game out, they beat Kentucky, and he was pretty good. Okay, and he rushes the ball well. He throws it well. Garrett Nussmeier was also off from LSU, but they're coming off a loss at Mississippi, and he threw for a season low 197 yards. Fernando Mendoza is this kid from Indiana who transferred in from Cal, and he looks kind of like he looks kind of like Will Howard to me, kind of a tall, big kid.
He's getting a lot of love.
Yeah, he didn't play last week. They were off. Their last game at Iowa, they came up with a win.
14th best QBR.
And he had 233 yards passing. Mm-hmm. There's a guy that wasn't on anybody's real radar at the beginning of the year, as far as everybody talking about these first-round picks, and his name's Dante Moore, and he was Dylan Gabriel's backup last year at Oregon.
Yeah.
Well, he was off last week. He is coming off the win over Penn State in double overtime, where he completed a ton of passes, and on the season, 74% of his passes completed, 14 touchdowns and one interception. So this guy's put himself on the radar. Arch Manning lost at Florida. Drew Aller lost at UCLA.
Yeah,
Penn State.
I mean,
it's still not on Drew.
Yeah, it's not on.
I know. It's, you know,
their defense,
James Franklin, the defense, yeah. Everything else. So all that's going on. But Penn State had a real easy early schedule, and now Penn State's lost two straight games. Unfortunately, Drew Aller's going to pay the price for some of that because they always point at the quarterback. I like Drew Aller. I hope he ends up here. I think it'd be great.
He's only thrown two interceptions all year.
Your guy, John Mateer from Oklahoma,
yeah,
broken bone in his right hand,
yeah.
But he's expected to come back, and he wants to play against Texas coming up in, what is it, the Red River game,
mm-hmm.
I think they call it?
Red River Classic.
So that one's
rivalry.
Coming up.
Rivalry, not class.
Yeah, it's the Red River Rivalry.
Yeah.
It used to be the Red River Shootout.
Yeah, so that's coming up. Carson Beck at Miami keeps just kind of hanging around the top of this thing. He's coming off a win against Florida State. He was good. 20 of 27, 241, four touchdowns. So
Mario Cristobal can draw him up. That's for darn sure.
Your dude, Cade Klubnik, Dan, who you're not too crazy about anymore.
I was just going to say, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I know. Beat up North Carolina, and he was good. 22 of 24, 254 and four touchdowns. Making Bill Belichick go, where's the girlfriend?
More like Bill Belichick going, where's the media gig?
So in other words, there are a bunch of these guys, Andy, that are floating around out there. And a website I like looking at is something called NFLDraftBuzz.com. And they put out updated rankings of guys. This is how they have them ranked right now at quarterback. You ready?
Okay.
The number one quarterback is Lenora Sellers in their estimation. Hmm. And kind of boom, out of nowhere, Dante Moore is now number two, the kid from Oregon. And Fernando Mendoza is number three. So the guys that, you know, we had heard about earlier, John Mateer has moved up to number four on their listing. Nussmeier has dropped to five. Arch Manning has dropped to six. So this thing is so in flux that it makes me think this. Are they really going to take a quarterback next year? Are they?
I don't know.
Because
keep your eye out, though. The game of the week, then, if you want to look at it as far as quarterbacks are concerned, Oregon against Indiana this week. You've only got three teams in the Big Ten that are still undefeated, Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon. And, I mean, Oregon's, what, number three this week going in. So, and Indiana's, I mean, they're like a, it's almost like I don't even know you anymore, Indiana. You actually have a football team.
Now, let me make you cringe. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I looked at mock drafts already.
No.
And I just stop. Just stop. I do this because I like seeing what people are thinking at the time. Okay? Sports.
That's an answer to why.
Sports Illustrated has a mock draft out. Okay? The number one pick in Sports Illustrated's draft, number one overall, is Dante Moore, the quarterback from Oregon, going to the New York Jets. With the second pick in the draft, Sports Illustrated in their mock, have the Cleveland Browns selecting Spencer Fano, an offensive tackle from Utah. They don't have him taking a quarterback. Isn't that something?
Who's the last guy we got? Kruger? Is that the last guy we had from Utah? I'm just trying to think.
He got traded from the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, he played Utah.
And so the Browns have another second-round pick. Another first-round pick,
like,
right?
Hey, Uger.
They have another first-round pick. And you got to scroll way down because Jacksonville's playing well right now, and they're basing it on current records. And they have the Browns at 26 with the Jacksonville pick taking. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bell, wide receiver from Louisville. How about that?
They could use a wide receiver.
Well, they can. But see, here we're all thinking, and I still am, thinking they're going to take a quarterback. Well, Sports Illustrated in a mock draft says no, they're not taking a quarterback. That's not what they're going to do.
I got 6 months.
I know.
I got 6 months.
Yeah, and then we have 4 hours, and we're having a fine conversation about it.
I got 6 months.
Are you enjoying, Dan?
No.
You should
I feel
be.
Bad for our marching band right now. They're like playing the same notes over and over.
You should be.
Are you really whining about the music that we have under this?
No,
yes,
I mean,
he is.
No, these guys get tired. Like, the drummer's got to get tired. Can you give us water at least?
Hang on now.
Anything nice on this show at any point.
Let me throw tired. This at you. Hold on.
I've just hooked down Indiana, Oregon this week. Keep going.
SI has the
marching band repeat.
SI's mock draft, right?
That's the third time that voice has come out this week.
Browns don't have a quarterback.
Oh,
in SI's mock draft, they're going wide receiver, offensive tackle.
Yeah.
So you check another one. CBS Sports. Mock draft. Okay? The number one quarterback odds that they have out there for the number one overall pick, Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback from Indiana, followed by Lenora Sellers from South Carolina, and then Dante Moore, the kid from Oregon. With their mock draft, number one overall pick, quarterback Dante Moore going to the Jets. Isn't that something? And then they think the Browns are apparently going to do something. They have the Browns with the ninth pick in the first round, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, so forgive me, taking offensive tackle Francis Muagoa?
Sure.
From Miami. So two mock drafts have the Browns going offensive tackle. first pick, which I thought was fascinating. So you go down a little bit more, Andy.
Yes.
With the second pick, CBS has the Browns taking Carnell Tate.
Ooh, I'll take it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Receiver, Ohio State, no quarterback. But Andy...
Yeah, no, this isn't true. This is based on talent.
This is food for thought.
They're going to take quarterback.
Hey, Dan and I were convinced as soon as they made that trade and trade down from two and get the fifth pick and next year's number one and then get the pick for Quinshon Judkins that they're taking a quarterback next year. Well, two mock drafts say no, but Andy, CBS has them trading back up in the first round at number 31.
Oh, what a shock. Oh, to have three first-round picks?
And taking John Mateer from Oklahoma.
Oh, I'd be okay with that. I'm okay with that.
But see, here's the thing.
As long as he's not hurt.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You wait to 31, do you actually think you're drafting your franchise quarterback?
Well, he still falls into the first round category, so.
I know. But then you'd have 5'10 Dylan Gabriel and 6'1 John Mateer. And who else? What if Shadur is still there? It's interesting. Just interesting. So... for those of you who are convinced that the Browns are taking a quarterback next year, like me, like Dan, two mock drafts say not really. And trading back up to get one. And they each have them taking an offensive tackle and a wide receiver, which, by the way, they clearly need.
How about...
isn't that kind of fascinating, though?
Yeah, how about Gabriel or Sanders jumps off the page over by the end of the season, we don't need to draft a quarterback in the first round? How about that one? I'd like that. I would like that.
Let me give you one more thought on this. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
CBS has guys not listed, and they don't think they're going to be there. They don't have Lenora Sellers in their draft because they think he's going back to school. I would cry. They also
Arch
have...
Arch Manning's got to go back, don't you
they
think?
Also, yeah. They also have the Raiders taking Fernando Mendoza at number 7 at quarterback.
I can see. I'm telling you, this week for him is going to be gigantic.
Yeah.
This is a gigantic game for him this week.
Here's the thing. If you're a young quarterback and you think you're going to be a top 10 pick, if you're going to be that high, you probably come out and take the NFL money. If you're not going to be that high, you stay in school and take the NIL money and then get better and then get better in a better quarterback money coming out in a draft the next year. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you.
They also don't have Drew Aller going in the first round. CBS.
He needs some luck to go the other way. I mean, they did put 37 up against UCLA this week, but...
Well, it's UCLA and they lost to a team that hadn't won a game.
He scored 37 points. I'll take that. I mean, what are you going to do? It's offense. It's...
You're going to outscore him by more.
I mean, look, he's put 52, 34, 46, even in a loss to Oregon. Double overtime loss to Oregon. Top 16 in the nation
like
at that
Drew.
Point.
I'd
24
love to see
points.
Him here.
I like the thought of a 6'5" quarterback. I got to be honest.
A big guy who wants to be in Cleveland.
Yeah, if our fans are turning on Drew Aller, it's the Mitch Trubisky theory. Like, I like Mitch Trubisky, so I didn't want him to play here. And guess what? I like Drew Aller, too, so there's a part of me that doesn't want him to play here either because he's just get thrown to the wolves. Let him go have success somewhere else and go, why didn't we get him?
So
that'd be a big win for him.
Start paying more attention to Dante Moore. I will. He's a sophomore and transferred from UCLA to Oregon where he sat last year. But it goes back to the Akili Smith thought. You really want a quarterback who's had one good year of college. And maybe the Jets do it number one.
I don't know. I just want to thank our marching band for that segment. Excellent job.
Yeah, they really were good.
For those of you watching on NoTube, I don't know if you noticed, but the saxophone player dotted the I in Baskin as they were doing script Baskin.
Mike Florio is the guru of pro football talk. You see him on NBC every Sunday. Florio is with us frequently. He's with us next. Right here on We Go to the Fan Hotline. He's one of our favorite guys to have join the show. He is the chief bottle washer at Pro Football Talk. Mike's created an empire there. Well, he's been writing books. The Big Shield is out. He's Mr. Mike Florio. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you today? Thanks for having me again.
Hey. Well, we appreciate having you. The Big Shield's doing some big things. What's going on?
Well, 99-cent ebook, one of the dumbest decisions I've ever made. I should have put the price point higher, but the good news is it's moving because at 99 cents, there's nothing you can find cheaper than that. And a candy bar is gone in like 5 seconds. This takes a little bit longer to fully and completely digest. $14.99 for the print edition. It has been doing extremely well. It's a tale of the mob gambling and a professional football league that is definitely not the National Football League. That is a caveat that my lawyer, i.e. me, has suggested I provide whenever talking about it. So I can't stop you from envisioning NFL teams when we talk about Las Vegas, Baltimore, Minnesota, et cetera. But it's not the NFL.
Understood. Glad we got that one taken care of. So the Browns, out of nowhere, story goes, get a phone call from the Cincinnati Bengals, of all people, asking if they would be interested in trading a 40-year-old quarterback to a division rival. What did you think when that all went down?
I wasn't surprised. The Bengals had gone beyond desperation to panic mode. They needed someone other than Jake Browning. They had a backup that they thought could function as a starter, and he didn't. 3 interceptions last week, losses galore. He was 4-3 as the starter in 2023 when Joe Burrow had a wrist injury, but it just wasn't working. Blown out by the Vikings, embarrassed by the Broncos, blown out by the Lions in a game that looked not as bad as it was because of some garbage time touchdowns by Cincinnati. They had to do something. I'm surprised they didn't call the Giants for Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston. And from the Browns' perspective, hey, this is found money. This is a guy that was on the roster the rest of his salary this year as a practical matter guaranteed. They didn't intend to play him again. They're not going to pivot from Dylan Gabriel back to Joe Flacco. The only way Flacco would have played is if the other two guys, Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, had played and gotten injured. So this is a bonus. This is an upgrade of a draft pick from round 6 to round 5 in this trade with the Bengals. And the way the Bengals are going, it could be a pretty high 5th-round pick. So I understand why they did it. And they're not going to get caught up in this idea of you don't trade within the division. It's all analytics-driven. Analytics don't take division rivalries into account. They got something when they otherwise would have gotten nothing.
What's going on here? Can you help me? I'm sitting here. We sit here every day, and I'm wondering what it looks like outside of Cuyahoga County, or even though our county commissioner doesn't realize that where they're building. Never mind. That's another story for another day. What when you look at what the Browns are doing right now, what do you see?
Well, a wise man known as Juju Smith-Schuster once said, "The Browns is the Browns." And, you know, the idea that Kevin Stefanski didn't even know the trade was coming on the surface, you'd say that's surprising. But, you know, this is a team where I believe, based upon the various pieces of circumstantial evidence over the course of the last 13 years, I believe the owner is very involved in pushing the needle toward the things he wants. And one of the benefits of being a multi-billionaire is you never have to give a direct order. When your preferences are made known to the people who work for you and who presumably hope to continue to work for you, they act accordingly. So this is a team that has prioritized certain things from time to time, like stockpiling salary cap space and getting as many draft picks for the future as they can. They see what's happening this year. They understand that the road to contention is going to be very difficult. They're now trying to see what they have in Dylan Gabriel. They may eventually see what they have in Shedeur Sanders as they evaluate what they're going to do with their first-round pick next year, which could be high enough to get a potential franchise quarterback all over again. So I understand what they're doing. You know, even though they beat the Packers, that's more of an aberration than a trend, and they're making business decisions for the future.
Like turning around and trading one pretty decent corner for another pretty decent corner and flopping some picks and adjusting finances? That's all we can think of with the trade with Jacksonville.
Well, the one thing we don't know about the Tyson Campbell for Greg Newsom, the second trade, is whether and to what extent there had been negotiations on a potential extension for Newsom. He's making $13 million this year as his fifth-year option. The franchise tag this year for corners is just over $20 million. It'll probably be $22, $23 million next year because the cap always goes up. And we don't know what Newsom may have been looking for by way of a long-term contract. What you get now is 3 years of Tyson Campbell after this season. You get him this year for $1.08 million. That's the balance of his salary for 2025. The next 3 years average out to $15.2 million. That's well below the $19.175 million new money average on the contract he signed last year in Jacksonville. So they're getting a guy that they know is going to be there. And they've already had the contract pre-negotiated with millions in hand that were transferred by the Jaguars. The Jaguars are going to take a $22 million dead money charge next year for this contract. That's $22 million that's already been paid to Campbell that the Browns don't have to pay. So I think that
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's as simple as they didn't think they were going to be able to keep Newsom on a long-term deal. And when you play out the franchise tag, hey, let's just pay a guy $15.2 for 3 years. Now, the only caveat is Tyson Campbell may decide, I want more money at some point sooner than later, and then they'll have an issue there. But on paper, they have a guy under contract through 2027 at an average of $15.2 million, and it gave them a longer-term answer at the position than they had with Newsom. And again, they're not going to advertise this, or maybe they'll leak it to help justify it, but if Newsom's people were looking for market-level compensation, to be able to get Campbell at $15 million a year is a pretty good deal.
What do you think is going on with the Browns quarterback situation? Where do you think they want to go? Like, the Flacco thing caught me a little off guard that Kevin was like, it just kind of happened. We sit here and Mike, we're arguing about our number three quarterback here. Like that dominates the airwaves here in Cleveland for a guy who's the emergency quarterback on Sunday. Like, what do you think the big plan was? And what do you think the plan is? Because Jeff and I will sit here and say, well, they're going to take those two first round picks and draft somebody next year.
Well, it's all analytics. I mean, that's what drives these decisions. And they don't think about team building. They don't think about the human dynamics. There's no formula for that. When you use a third-round pick on Dillon Gabriel and you send the message that this guy is potentially going to be the future, and then two rounds later you draft Shedeur Sanders because the gap between him and the next available player was so big you could no longer ignore it, then you create a situation where you're going to have these issues. And I doubt that there was any effort by the team, whether it was the GM or the chief strategy officer, the head coach, whoever was involved in the decision. And at the end of the day, these are things that get nudged by ownership. You have to be very careful as an owner to not weigh in with what you would like to have happen, because it is, as I said, very easy for the people who work for you to read your cues and do the thing that they think you want them to do. And so you have this mess now where Shedeur is going to create a headline no matter what he says, or even if he says nothing at all. And this is where the Browns are, and they have to figure this one out. I saw the report over the weekend that the expectation is Shedeur will play at some point this year. That if that's the expectation, then that really is a recognition that they're not going to contend. Because if Dillon Gabriel would play well and the team would start winning games, why in the hell would you bench him for Shedeur Sanders? So if that's true, that they already plan to play him at some point this year, then they really are in 2026 mode, and everything that happens now is just a precursor to next year. It reminds me of the claims that Hugh Jackson made after he was fired and after he got every dollar of his buyout. You know, he filed a grievance with the league suggesting that he was the fall guy. He was the scapegoat for this plan that basically was sophisticated tanking. You know, nobody tried to lose, but hey, people get bonuses. People get incentive payments for the amount of salary cap space we carry from 1 year to the next. People get bonuses based upon the number of draft picks that we can stockpile for next year. And embedded within all that is sacrificing the present in the name of building the future. And the Browns are the kings of that right now. Forget about the present, let's build for the future. And then when the future becomes the present, forget about the present, let's build for the future. And that's been the lather, rinse, repeat cycle for this team for a decade now.
It's interesting you talked about the chief strategy officer there, because somebody sent me this over the weekend, and I was like, yeah, I guess he's right. That when they brought in Paul DePodesta since then, and you talk about the analytics, they're 54-80-1. What makes you think the analytics is working correctly when you're 54-80-1? And how many chief strategy officers, I don't even know there are, how many there are in the NFL, how many of them would survive 54-80-1?
Well, Not many, and I don't know how many there are. And this was this revolutionary approach that we're going to take a guy who used analytics successfully in baseball and translate that to an entirely different sport where intangibles matter, where the movements of 11 players at the same time, good, bad, otherwise, influence the result, not the individual attributes of the players. You know, in baseball, it's very simple. It's pitcher versus batter and a bunch of bystanders, and, you know, they're good enough that they're supposed to do their job when the ball comes their way. So it is a fundamentally different thing. And I think that it's as simple as, you know, look at the Cowboys. Jerry Jones meddles, but he's the general manager. The buck stops with him. He takes the heat when the team is unsuccessful. And obviously, he's never going to fire the GM because the GM is him. In Cleveland, I almost feel like these layers are buffer for the owner getting what the owner wants. And if you're the chief strategy officer and the strategy that you're ultimately implementing is doing the thing that you think the owner wants you to do and coming up with mathematical justification for it, then you're not going to get fired. And that's really the dynamic here. It provides cover for the owner to meddle in the same way that Jerry Jones does without the title of general manager to go along with it. And yeah, the longer that this lasts without accountability, it, I think, creates the logical conclusion that these folks also have jobs in the front office because they're smart enough to do what the owner wanted them to do. And if it was time to fire these people, you know, the easy response is, hey, we just did what we thought you wanted. And it probably would be hard for Jimmy Haslam to dispute that.
Hmm. Mike, the trade with Jacksonville, it's interesting, and I think we're all on the same page. There's some money here and kind of looking long-term. With that in mind, trade deadline less than a month away, is a long-term move by the Browns to trade off pieces and accumulate draft choices, or might it be a different approach where they try and poach some young talent off of teams that might be trying to move on from it for late-round picks or something like that?
Well, look, it all depends upon contract status, where the team thinks the player might fit into the future. But I just believe that this team is committed to this idea of having salary cap space and having draft picks, especially when there's still many millions, right? There are nine figures tied up in dead money still to be attributed to Deshaun Watson. I've said before, one of the reasons he's on the team right now, if you cut him now, the dead money charge next year is $135 million. They have structured the contract to kick the can under the salary cap, and there is still going to be a lot of money, a lot of funny money that is attributed to his name in the future. So they have an extra incentive to get as much salary cap space as they can because so much of it is still going to be tied up in really what was the single worst transaction in NFL history, especially when you sprinkle on top of the contract and the draft picks that were lost, which are very affordable players who become the heart and soul of your team if you still have those picks. The rise of Baker Mayfield has to be taken into account too, and that just makes a horrible decision by the Browns seem even worse.
Do you think Deshaun is on this team when that contract expires?
Well, the only...
In other words, is he here next year for the season?
I think so because they've done these extensions and they've kicked the salary cap money into future years. And I'd have to do some research, which is a fancy way of saying I don't know what the consequences would be if they would cut him with a post-June 1 designation after the season. I don't know what that would do. It would at a minimum push a bulk of the cap charges into the 2027 league year. But I think they have it set up so they have the voidable years that carry the cap charges out in the future years, and you need to keep him around long enough, possibly until the full completion of the contract, to get the benefit of this structuring they've done to push the cap charges out in the future years. And in hindsight, they probably wish they'd just taken the cap charges now, because what is the cap space that they've saved done for them? Nothing.
Hmm. All right, I ease Browns fans' mind or let them know, especially because the defense is playing so well. Do you think you kind of alluded to it a little bit before, but as they get closer to the trade deadline, do you think they'll be selling off pieces?
Well, it all depends upon what pieces they think aren't going to be part of the team next year. Once you know, once you're aware that you're not going to have a guy on the team next year, then you get into the analysis of, wait a minute, are we going to cut him? Because if you're going to cut him, you've got no chance of getting compensation via the compensatory draft pick system. Are we going to let him walk away as a free agent? What are we going to do? But once you know the guy's not going to be there, and if you're not playing the compensatory draft pick game, if they intend to go out and sign a bunch of free agents and maybe they wouldn't get compensatory draft picks anyway, then you start looking for compensation now. So it's all to be determined, and the trade deadline is the Tuesday after week 9. Remember, it was the Browns who proposed that it be moved from the Tuesday after week 8 until the Tuesday after week 9. That gives the bad teams more time to conclude that they're bad and that they should go ahead and sell off pieces. So I think they're in play right now, you know, unless they start winning some games. Whenever we start getting closer and closer to the trade deadline, it's an annual item that we end up dusting off and repackaging and pointing out again. It comes down to what happens those last couple of weeks for a lot of these teams. If you win the last couple of games before the trade deadline, you feel differently about selling. If you lose them, you feel differently about selling off assets. And conversely, you know, teams can become buyers if they get hot between now and week 9. So I think a lot of it's to be determined, but we're already seeing the decisions being made to move on from players who they believe won't be with the team next year.
He's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, author of Big Shield. Go get it. You can go to Pro Football Talk and get it right there. And Mike, congratulations on the success of the book.
Thank you, guys. Great talking to you.
Hey, thanks.
Mike Florio joining us on the Fan Hotline. Mike Florio was just with us from Pro Football Talk, author of Big Shield. And we asked him about trade deadline stuff coming up. Mm-hmm. And it's a little less than a month away, November 4th, Tuesday. It's a Tuesday, November 4th. And I just kind of wonder this, Andy. Should the Browns be selling off pieces? And as Mike pointed out, Browns were one of the teams and kind of behind the idea of pushing it back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is this a year where the Browns should probably say, yeah, you know what? We're going to get rid of some of these guys and maybe pick up some assets. And there are some guys who are, I mean, if you just look at it and you think baseball in particular, and I think football is becoming a little more like
I think that's the problem with this trade deadline feeling that everyone thinks they're going to, this is a sale. This isn't baseball.
It's not.
And I think a lot of people are like, oh, fire stale. Here we go.
But
here goes Reggie Jackson.
But I wonder if this team takes a look at some things and thinks one way or the other. I still keep thinking maybe a trade to a contender, a guy that they think can really help them for a depth piece at a position of need. Now,
say that right away, the only thing I can think of is offensive line. That if they needed, if someone got hurt on a contender,
yes,
and you clearly thought you were out of it, and Betonio, Posick, Teller, or Conklin, one of those four, that's about it, right?
I can't imagine Joel being traded.
You're right, not Joel. But unless Joel wanted to.
They wanted to do Joel a favor and he said, you know what, I'd love to go to a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
You know, let's say Kansas City needs an offensive lineman or Buffalo needs an offensive lineman. Joel's contract's up.
Anywhere but Baltimore.
Wyatt Teller's contract is up at the end of this year. David Njoku's contract is up, just drafted Harold Fannin.
They cannot completely rebuild the offensive line next year, no matter how you think. You're not going to go 4-for-5 on offensive linemen next year, gone?
No, I wouldn't think so. But
I don't think it's a healthy way to go.
It's the NFL. You can sign guys like crazy.
I know.
There are a lot of players whose contracts expire, 26 of them, at the end of this year.
Wow.
So there are a lot of different guys, and we just named some of the higher-priced guys right now. There are some guys on defense. I wouldn't want to move them.
I'm not moving any of our defensive linemen. I'm not moving. I love the way Alex Wright played last week.
Well, if you think
my call's not going anywhere right now.
No, but if you actually want to try and move some people to pick up some assets, you're not going to be able. For instance,
why would you want to rebuild a defense that's pretty?
I wouldn't.
Darn good.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to give you anything for David Bell. Okay. His contract's up.
Okay.
Nobody's going to give you anything for Martin Emerson coming off an injury. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to trade somebody that you probably wouldn't want to trade, but you're going to have to look at it big picture wise and think, well, what do we do? You know, for instance, David Njoku. David's a free agent. You just drafted Harold Fannin. I don't see any problem with having two tight ends who are good. And I think Harold is on his way to becoming good. And I think David is. But I wouldn't want to move Dave. I'd like to keep him. That said, he's going to be in line to make a lot of money next year.
Mm-hmm.
You want to spend a lot of money on a tight end who you could make the argument has never reached the upper echelon of the tight end position, but is still a good player. I like him.
Let me throw this at you. Ready?
I'd like to get him the ball more.
I can make it even easier for you. You know, if you have a first-round overall pick, with the exception of maybe a quarterback right out of the gate, don't you expect them to be a starter next year? Somebody you draft in the first round? Especially on this team. This team, if you're a first-round draft pick.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yep, first-rounders.
So, you could look through the depth chart and say, okay, first of all,
well, you're not going to get first-round picks for trading these guys.
No. But what I'm saying is trying to look at your roster into the future, knowing that you're going of their 22 starters right now, and you know you're not going to have some back next year. Two of those starters next year will be drafted in the first round if they hang on to their two first-round picks. Correct?
Yeah, you would think so.
So, and it probably fair to say one would be
wide receiver or offensive lineman.
Yes, and probably the other would be a quarterback. At this juncture, we would say a quarterback.
Yes.
So, and both of those number one picks going to the offense.
Dan,
and now fill out the rest of your roster.
Yep. Yeah, Dan's in Amherst. Dan, welcome.
Hey.
Hi, Dan.
What's up, Jeff and Andy? Haven't talked to you guys in a minute, but
missed you.
Just when I called, I was going to bring up David Njoku, as you did. I mean, with Fannin in and being as versatile and young as he is, it's my understanding, I don't think Mr. Njoku's is that great of a run blocker. You guys, what do you think we could get from him going to a needy team that's in a contender for David Njoku? I like Njoku. Chief has performed well, but I think this is a rebuild year again. I mean, we all got our sights on. I got my party room set up for draft day again. So I'm just thinking if they could move Mr. Njoku and get some valuable assets for him, such as draft choices, I think it'd be a wise decision. And by the way, I need to apologize because I did call into the morning, guys, and I kind of dogged Andrew Berry. That was last week. But after seeing how his picks performed this year, I guess, you know what? We'll hold on to him for a minute.
A little bit.
All right,
Dan. Dan, thank you for your service. Appreciate you.
What do you think? I'd like to be optimistic and say a third-round pick for David Njoku.
At this point, I think that's fair.
You know, but
that's a fair. Are we overestimating it?
Maybe.
It always seems like, you look at him, and you're like, well, he was a first round draft pick for us. Why would we not be able to get at least a second?
Because it's like driving a car off the lot.
No, that's true. Depreciation.
I still love the idea of picking up young players who can help you at some other spots.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.